this week on Win Today.
Don't get involved in things that don't matter. Average listener out there today, I can tell you they're wasting more time than they can even imagine. They're hanging out with the wrong people. They underestimate that they can be successful. And you got to pick yourself up.
It's our limiting beliefs that ultimately keep us from becoming the best we're capable of becoming. Something's got to change, but that change has to happen first on the inside. I don't want to wake up in 5 years and say, how did I end up here? It's time to get unstuck. It's time to get your why back. It's never too late. Let's start today.
Helping you develop the courage to get unstuck and reclaim your purpose in a life that never stops moving. This is Win Today. And now, here's your host, Christopher Cook.
Folks, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Thanks for the download. This is episode 83, which only means one thing. We're getting near 100 episodes of Win Today. I can't believe it. That's over 100 hours of value added to you. And I'll say this, as much value as I believe I've added to your life, you all, the thousands and thousands of you that listen each and every week, have added so much value back to me. We're in this journey together to get unstuck, to reclaim our purpose. And as I say often, it's never too late. So why don't we start today? We're in this journey together to build a roadmap to become healthy and whole from the inside out. Guys, this is the greatest privilege of my life to be able to speak to you and to add value to you. I want my life to resonate this one thing to you. If I can get unstuck from chronic anxiety and post-traumatic stress and find my way out of the rubble from fear and shame, guess what, guys? So can you. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be your guide to help you become the best you're capable of becoming. Whew. I'm so passionate about this. There's the music. So I should probably talk about today's episode. Listen up. When I sent out a survey to you all last year, a huge number of you said that one of the major reasons you feel or have felt stuck in life is because of a lack of time. Fact, 60% of you said that the reason you feel worn out, stressed out, and unsuccessful is simply because of a lack of time. So today we're talking with an expert not only about time management, but about life management. That's the bigger issue. See, we all have the same amount of time each day. And for a third of the time, we're sleeping. So we have to figure out why there's a gap between what you want to do and what you actually end up doing with the other 16 hours each day. And I know this, we all have demands placed on us that we cannot control. But even in those times, we can create an ecosystem within our mindset about how we're approaching the things that need to get done in the most effective and efficient way. So today's guest is someone that knows how to get things done point blank. He gets them done well. His name is Lee Cockrell. If you've been to Walt Disney World in the last 20 years, you've experienced the precision and excellence of Lee Cockrell. So who's Lee at Disney? He's the retired executive vice president of operations for Walt Disney World Resort. The whole place. He led a team of over 40,000 cast members and was responsible for the operations of 20 resort hotels, 4 theme parks, 2 water parks, and the ESPN sports complex. As you might imagine, Lee had to become a time management expert, first as a means of survival, then as a way to help others make the best use of their time. So today we're answering these questions. How do I prioritize my time so that my health and my family get the best of me? How do I say yes to the things that are going to bring the greatest return? How do I prioritize the tasks I'm faced with each day? And how do I become more efficient on the job? Folks, this man set the standard for professionalism and customer service excellence in one of the most recognized companies in the world. It was all on his watch. So I trust that after having listened to this conversation, you're going to walk away more equipped to simply do life better and win and get up when you fall and then win again and again and again. It's going to be a good one today. But folks, before we get started today, I want to tell you about my friends over at GoRaw.com. They're dedicated to making raw, organic, and junk-free snacks that taste good. And folks, they really do taste good. From sprouted snacks to cookies to granola to bars, you're going to get the essential vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients, and enzymes, all critical for your health. What's my favorite right now? The Choco Crunch Sprouted Cookies. They're so good. Need your sweets fix? These solve the problem. So go to goraw.com right now and use the promo code WINTODAY20. That's WINTODAY20 to save 20% on your order. Folks, without further ado, let's get right to my conversation with the one, the only, Lee Cockrell. Lee, welcome to Win Today. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Oh, good to be with you. Thanks.
Lee, I got to tell you, I've been to Disney World a handful of times, and now I'm talking with the man that made it all come together. So this is a real treat. You know, Lee, there's really no place like Disney in the world.
Well, I think that's right, and I didn't even realize that till I actually joined Disney in 1990. And,
wow.
It's a special place.
It really is. Lee, before we dive into your expertise and begin to coach all of our listeners, I want them to know a little bit about your experience leading up to Disney, your background in hospitality, and then once you landed at Disney nearly 30 years ago, what you did in that organization.
Yeah, well, I started out after I got out of the Army in 1965. I went to Washington, D.C. and got a job as a banquet waiter. I didn't have a college degree because I forgot to go to class. And so I started there, and I worked for a couple of years, a year and a half maybe, 2 years as a waiter. And then I got promoted into a management training program. And I did that. And then I stayed with Hilton 8 years. I worked in Washington, Chicago, Waldorf Astoria, New York, Los Angeles.
Wow.
Then I got with Disney and or with Marriott next. I joined Marriott in 1973 and worked for them for 17 years, eventually becoming the vice president of food and beverage operations. We lived in Philadelphia, Chicago, back to Washington. Back to Chicago, then Springfield, Illinois, and then in 1990 I got recruited by Disney to go to Paris and open Disneyland Paris. So I asked my wife, she said, absolutely, we're going to Paris. So I didn't have any choice on that one, and we went, and I stayed there 3 years, opened it. I was the vice president of hotel operations when I left, and they asked me to come to Orlando and be in charge of the hotel division first. And then I did that for a couple of years. And then they promoted me to be the executive vice president of operations for all operations at Walt Disney World. Did that for about 10 years. And then I retired and started my own little company. So
wow.
That's the quick version.
What an incredible journey. And Lee, today the focus of the conversation is to give people time management strategies for everyday life, for every walk of life. But I want to tee you up by first talking about excellence and attention to detail and how to create that culture so that any time management strategy we put into place is actually going to thrive because of the environment we've created. Talk to us first about the cultures at Marriott and Disney.
Yeah, I think that's the two places where I learned how important attention to detail is, and really I always tell people now, everything matters. And unless you get that in your head that everything matters, from the landscaping being looking great to no trash on the ground to clean windows at the front door to wherever, you won't end up being an excellent company, because you got to be a good role model. You got to set the example. Every person who works in that organization is kind of like putting on a stage show.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have great actors. You got to have people know their parts. Everybody's got to know they do it, and we're going to do it. And we're going to put on a great show every day. And that's what I learned that really, I think, at Marriott first, because Bill Marriott was just incredible. And attention, walking with him was not fun, because he pointed out all the little details that weren't right. And so I learned that. And I think that's why exposure and experience is so important to work. If you work for the right people, you learn the right things. Sometimes when you're young and you work for the wrong people, you learn the bad habits.
That's right.
It's kind of like who you hang out with. You become like them eventually. So be careful who you hang out with.
Mm-hmm. Lee, I want to camp out on that statement you made. You said everything matters. So talk about what that meant. You walked the property at Marriott with Bill Marriott himself. What was that like? What are the specific things that he harped on that said, Lee, these are important. Watch this. Do this. What are the practices and the disciplines that really were galvanized in you as you were a young leader and then coming to the place of being the executive vice president of operations at Walt Disney World? Folks, just to take a time out, as I said in the pre-show, Lee led over 40,000 cast members at Disney. So everything matters. What does that mean in terms of Marriott and Disney, Lee?
Well, certainly in Marriott, Mr. Marriott would come to see us, and I remember I'd never met anybody quite like him, because his dad founded the company, and he was very involved in everything. You'd walk with him. I remember one time we walked down to the back dock where the deliveries come in, and the trash dumpster was there, and it was August, and it wasn't smelling very good out there in the back, and flies all over the place, some flies getting into the hotel. And he looked at me and he said, "Lee, let me tell you something. If you have flies in your operations because you like flies, you can get rid of them." I'll never forget that. What he meant is you have what you put up with. And so I got that resolve. We washed that dumpster down every day. I put fly fans up. I put screens up so they couldn't get in. And he was right. The flies were no longer there. And that was a good example, you know, of if you put up with lack of friendliness or lack of cleanliness, it's what you want if you're the boss and you're in charge and you're the leader. So those were good for him. He was the perfect example that everything. And I would say he focused mainly on cleanliness, friendliness. Those are the two things that he always harped on. Keep it clean, keep it friendly. And Walt Disney said the same thing before he died. Keep it clean and friendly and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Because those are the basics that today people have always looked for. Today, especially, cleanliness is a big deal if you're in the hotel business or if you're going to a restaurant to eat and you want to know it's safe. So they were successful because they never forgot the basics. So that's what I learned. I was lucky to work for them.
Indeed. One of the things I remember about Disney so well is that it was such a personalized experience, and I think that's an attention to detail issue. Speak to leaders and everyone listening about why details matter, Lee.
Well, I would say to them, there's the three most important things is make sure you're hiring the right people and you're involved in that and you have good systems to make sure you're getting the right people. First of all, because there's nothing more important than that.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is training. That we do well at Disney, training, testing, and enforcing your policies and procedures. Enforce the training. A lot of managers let it go. They close an eye. They don't follow up on it. And the last thing is make sure you understand you're a role model and you're trying to create a culture and an environment where all of your staff matters and they know they matter.
That's right.
And that they get excited about coming to work in the morning when they wake up. So I think, as I was telling people the other day, I said, you know, you hire them right, you train them right, and you treat them right, you'll have a great organization. And unfortunately, a lot of people out there are in charge of things, but they don't know their people very well. They don't know their last name. They don't know much about their children. They don't know much about anything. And we're all in this together, you know, at Disney. Let me tell you, there's nothing you can do by yourself at Disney. It's too big, too complex, and we just learned to appreciate everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody matters.
Lee, I can't help but think those cultures created the foundation from which you developed a mindset and systems to live a highly productive, effective, and balanced life, right?
Absolutely. You know, I've been pretty disciplined my whole life, but when you start thinking about how to apply that discipline, that's when you start to think, okay, everything matters. So I've got to pay more attention to everything, not just the things that I thought were the big deal, because different customers notice different things. You know, if some lady comes and she's really into gardening and she says half our flower's dead, I mean, she's going to think we got a problem. And so, yeah, I did. I really have a eye for it today. And I can thank Bill Marion and the Disney folks for improving my vision.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, Lee, you're known for saying, don't underestimate what you can achieve. And getting organized in our priorities, folks, and time is the key we're going to dive into today. Lee, would you give all of us an overview of what can be unlocked in our potential when we become better managers of our own time and how we can begin to do it?
Well, I think the problem is most people have had no training on how to organize themselves and get everything done. So they go through high school, you know, and your mother yells at you every night to do your homework and clean up your room and all these things. And then you get to college and they don't teach really time management systems. And then you got a lot coming at you. All of a sudden you're in college, you're by yourself, you got classes, you got term papers, you got to try to get an internship, a job, and it becomes overwhelming. I would say the anxiety level in America is pretty high these days because people don't know how to manage their time, keep it under control, really. How do you keep your whole life under control? your personal life, your health, your relationships, your own knowledge. This system, I took a course back in 1980, and I learned, and then I added many things to it and published my own book on it, because every time I hear from people every week about how this has changed their life, because they had no idea. One guy wrote the other day and said, "Lee, I got a problem since I took that course, time management." He said, "I'm getting too much done." He said, I used to forget things. I wouldn't write them down. I didn't follow up. And it's true. It's just and I think people think they're disorganized and there's nothing you can do about it, but it's just like taking a math course or taking an English course or learning how to change the oil on your car. It can be learned. It's a talent you can acquire, and when you do it, you'll be getting a lot. You'll be doing the right things instead of just doing a bunch of things. And so that's how I feel about it. And unless you can be really organized, today's too complex. I mean, listen, everything's coming at us. Competition, there's another hotel on every corner, another restaurant on every corner. And how do you set yourself apart is by being reliable, credible, doing what you say you're going to do, keeping your promises. And that's what that system does for me.
Indeed. So powerful. In your book, Lee, you wrote that most people are not overworked, they're underorganized. I'd love for you to unpack that for us. And then how do we take really practical steps to course correct?
Well, I think that's the case. You know, people will tell you they don't have time.
Right.
We've all got the same amount of time. So why do some people get so much done and others don't? And it's a state of mind. You know, you got to know that you've got a system, you know what your priorities are in your life. And like when I was at Disney, I knew my priorities. It was to make sure we were hiring the right people, training them, and I was setting a good example. And since I retired, my wife kind of gave me three new ones. She said, "Your first priority, Lee, is take care of yourself so you can take care of us, and then take care of your family, and then take care of your business. And if you have any time left over, you can help Kim Kardashian with her problems. But don't get involved in things that don't matter." And doesn't matter. Just average listener out there today, I can tell you they're wasting more time than they can even imagine. They're hanging out with the wrong people.
Yep.
They underestimate that they can be successful. They had a little bump in the road when they were 24 or 25, and they kind of gave up. And you got to pick yourself up. You got another 50 years to work.
So yeah, that's right.
So that's how I think about it. Get organized, and you'll be fine. And I guarantee you it's a learned thing. Everybody can get better at it.
But it can be learned, right?
Absolutely. Easy.
So, folks, as I said, you know, a lot of you have written to me to say one of the reasons you feel stuck is because you don't feel you have enough time. So we're literally going to unpack what I believe are these trade secrets to becoming more effective with the same amount of time that every one of us has. But real quickly, I want to take a sidestep because I believe this applies to leadership and for those that lead in organizations. Lee, this is a misunderstood concept in many organizations. What's the difference between a leader and just a manager? And for those of us in organizational leadership, how do we harness leadership in such a way that we're not simply managing tasks and resources?
Well, I think that's true, because I'm going to give you the simple definition of how I think about it. Management's about doing. You have a day planner, you put 10 things in there, you get them done today, you check them off. That's management. You're keeping things under control. You got things in there about your personal life, your business life, getting to your kid's soccer game, getting that work done for your boss who wants it Friday. You put all the things you got to do in there, and including hard things, things you don't want to do. That's the one where most people miss it. You know, you don't have a conversation with somebody who's not doing their job because it's hard. So we put it off. You don't exercise because it's hard. You eat too much because it's hard to push back. You get in credit card debt because it's hard to save your money instead of spending. Mm-hmm. And goes on and on and on. I tell people, when you take the easy route, life only gets harder.
Yeah.
When you do the hard things, life just gets easier and easier and easier. And this is what we try to teach. So leadership management is doing. Leadership is about how to be there for your people, how to be a person of integrity, how to be a person who can have hard discussions, how to be a person who can make hard decisions, how to be a person who can do the right thing instead of the easy thing. And we're all faced with those things today. And that's why you don't hear too many people saying, "Well, I have a great leader," because it's about trust. It's about you trusting me and me being trustworthy and building a relationship with you. And even though I may hold you accountable and have high standards and push you hard for excellence, you still like working with me because you trust me.
Yeah.
And I help with your training. I help with your development. I help you get ahead in your career. Those are leadership issues.
That's right. Folks, I want you to take a step back. Apply some self-assessment. If you're in leadership, ask yourself, how am I doing in my delegation? How am I doing in my empowerment? How am I doing in not micromanaging and taking the reins on everything? I've heard it said, managers assign tasks, but leaders, Lee, delegate authority.
Well, we do. I mean, if you don't have the courage and the self-confidence to delegate authority, because a lot of people want to tell somebody you're responsible for this, but then they don't give them any authority.
Right.
And you cannot give responsibility without authority. They go hand in hand. And if you've hired great people and you've trained them and you've been clear with them, they'll do a great job. And you just be available when they feel like they need to ask you about something. But generally, they should know. They got a budget. They can make their decisions. If you can't trust people, then you've probably hired the wrong people, or else you have some problems with your own psychic.
True.
And so I've never had a problem with that. I don't have a need to know everything. I have a need to have people around me who know what they're doing. And then I'm available if they want to come and see me about something.
Oh, yeah, Lee, you had over 40,000 people reporting essentially to you at Disney. There's no way you could have micromanaged.
No, and micromanaging is not fun anyway. In fact, the people being managed hate it.
Yeah.
Great people want authority. They want to make decisions. They want to do a good job for you. They don't want to have to come to you for every little approval of this and that and everything else.
Absolutely.
So it's a matter of, a lot of people have to have a conversation with themselves about this subject, because a lot of people are out there saying, I can't stand my job. My boss never lets me do anything. I have to go see him, and then he's not available. It takes 3 weeks to get something approved, and all the things that happen when you don't give authority.
Indeed. Lee, in your book, you wrote about the fact that early in your career, you were putting far too much time into your work. There are people listening that really feel overwhelmed and hopeless because there's too much to do and apparently too little time to accomplish those things. What do you have to say to those folks?
Well, I didn't know how to run my life. I didn't get it. You know, I got out Army, came in, and all of a sudden I got a bigger job. Now I'm a manager, and then I had people reporting to me. And so I just got my work done by going to work early in the morning, working till 7-8 o'clock at night, taking work home, going in on Saturday and Sunday. And then I took this time management course about 1980, and I learned that my problem was that I wasn't delegating. I wasn't trusting anybody. I wanted to make all the decisions myself because of that lack of self-confidence and not trusting people. And I didn't plan my day every day in those days. I didn't write down the priorities and get them done, check them off. When I didn't know how to do something, I didn't have the self-confidence to go ask somebody for help because I didn't want to show that I was weak. All those things that happened to us. And so after that course, I started applying it. And I would say that course probably is the number one reason I had such a successful career. Is I started to get things done right and left, and even things I didn't know how to do, then I learned how to get experts to help me and ask for their help. And it was an amazing transition, because if I'd have kept going the way I did, I would have probably not gone very far, because the higher you go, the more responsibility you get, the more difficult decisions you have to make, and you need better experts around you to guide you and to help you. And so, yeah, after that core, I would say I cut my work week down to about 50 hours, 10 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Wow.
It was incredible because I learned how to delegate. I learned how to follow up. I learned how to be on top of things and not have to do them personally. It helped my marriage. It helped my relationship with my family, being there when I needed to be there. And a lot of people are going down the wrong path. And if you're not organized, it's stressful. It hurts your health. You just make a lot of mistakes. I mean, a lot of people start drinking or taking some kind of drugs or can't sleep. I mean, it just goes from bad to worse.
Absolutely.
When you got too much stress in your life and you can't handle it.
And what I heard you say, Lee, is that part of your delegation as a leader came into play and really was galvanized when you became more secure in your identity. I think insecure leaders are micromanaging leaders.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, micromanager or somebody who is trying to intimidate you or they raise their voice to you, those are very insecure people. I can spot an insecure person a mile away. You see it today with a lot of people, a lot of leaders in politics and business and churches, just thinking best thing since sliced bread, and they don't treat people very well, and that's the way people keep people away from them, is by intimidation. And that's about the worst thing you can take on is intimidation with your kids or with your business.
That's such a strong point. Folks, I'm being intentionally redundant, but Lee, in your book, you write about the most crucial skill. What is that?
I think the main thing with this is you got to think about where you spend your time today, where you should be spending it. Ask yourself why you're not spending it on the things that are going to make a difference in your life, from your health to your performance to your job. And ask yourself, just sit down and think deeply, how much time do you waste every day? Sometimes it's commuting, you live too far from work. Sometimes it's watching TV all night and not exercising. I mean, there's so many things that we waste time. And by the way, one of the biggest time wasters is having people that report to you that you've got an important jobs and they're not doing the job. They're incompetent. You're having to spend time with them all the time because they can't ever get it right. Just think about it all the time. That's why I say hire great people. You save a lot of time.
Exactly.
train people. You save a lot of time.
Well, that's exactly right. And taking it a step further, Patrick Lencioni, who in my mind is one of the foremost experts on organizational health and development, says this: organizational health trumps everything.
Oh, absolutely. Every day you are. Yep. You know, I tell people when you get out of your car in the morning and go to work, you personally go into that workplace and make it better or worse, the culture. And when you get home at night, you can go into your home and make it better or worse. If you're stressed out and you go in, you don't pay attention and you don't tell your wife you love her and you watch TV and don't listen to her. And my son told me when he was 14, he said, "Dad, you ought to sit in the hot tub for 15 minutes when you get home. Everything was fine until you got here."
Wow.
And, you know, and we all do that. We go in and create these big scenes over nothing because we had a stressful day.
Yep.
And it's usually because we're stressed out because we didn't get done everything. We got more pressure and something's due tomorrow and it never ends.
Indeed.
So it's a good thing to think about your own personal behavior at home and at work. How are you affecting people? Are you making it better or are you making it worse every day?
That's right. Folks, you can have the most well-articulated strategy in the world, but I believe if the nucleus of your culture, the organizational health structure, is not intact, you're going to suffer.
Oh, absolutely. And think about it. You know, if you just want a good way to think about it at home. Do you come home and create a strong culture where your kids are happy to see you and even your dog loves you and the cat doesn't run away and you sit down, you have a talk with your family, you have dinner together, or do you just come home and you get a couple of drinks, fall asleep on the couch, and you didn't get to see your kids before they went to bed, and your wife's unhappy because you're not paying attention to her.
Yep.
Or as my wife would say in the old days, "Lee, are you listening to me?" And I said to guys, "This is not a question. You're already in trouble."
That's right.
And I think you create the culture you want, and at work too. I got to be available for people. I got to listen to them when they want to see me. I have to be available. I have to return phone calls. I've got to build that relationship where people know I care about them. It's not just I care about Lee. And I must say, in my early career, it was all about me. Mm. You know, I want the promotion. I want the car. I want the stock options. I want the bonus. Me. And once you quit thinking about yourself, things get better because your people will do a lot better job when they know you're thinking about them.
That's exactly right. Yeah, the pay it forward does get paid back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that took me a long time to figure that one out.
Well, Lee, let's jump in and begin to put a plan together for everyone, really practical plan. Folks, I want to encourage you to get Lee's book, Time Management Magic, right now as an accompaniment to this conversation. Go to wintoday.tv/episode83. Right now, there's a link in the show notes to buy the book. Lee, where do we start? How do we begin to put the plan together?
Well, I would say getting the book's a good idea because it'll give you a little guideline.
Absolutely.
It's really a course, if you will. And you get yourself a day planner. I think I love my Samsung Galaxy phone. It's great for everything. The one thing it's not very good at, and most people have gotten into trouble, is they've tried to switch their over to those apps to keep track of their tasks.
Yes.
And those apps don't work very well. And I would say put a phone in one pocket and put a day planner in the other. I use a day timer personally. I've been using it 35 years. And every morning you wake up, And the first thing you do is you open that planner, and there's a place to put, says to be done today. And the first thing you think about is yesterday. What didn't you do so good yesterday? That conversation you had with somebody, an email you wrote, you need to add two more things to it because on the way home last night you remembered there was two things you didn't put in there. You need to call a client back and tell them one other thing you thought about on the way home. I said, always reflect on yesterday for a few minutes of everything you did yesterday, what you didn't do right, fix it. First thing in the morning before the client knows, before your boss knows, because we all do it. We drive home, we're thinking of things, and that's how it works. And then so you, second thing you think about is just go through the list of responsibilities you signed up for. And I would encourage your listeners to make a list. What are your responsibilities? Well, one is your spouse or partner. Think about them, anything you need to do for them. Your children, anything you need to do for them this week. Get them signed up for camp. Get that college fund open. Get them their annual physical, inoculations. Go up and see their teachers. You know, there's a wide list of things we always are doing with our children.
Right.
Take them out for breakfast Saturday morning so you get to know them one by one better. Then your aging parents, grandparents, have you had a conversation with them, how they want things handled? Have you got the wills and trust signed before dementia might set in? You got to do those hard things now. Don't wait. Your own personal development. What courses do you need to take this year? You think about that because you own that. Your retirement. Do you really have it nailed down? Do you understand it? Have you had an expert look at it? Get that done. I think when you start to make a list of what you've really signed up for, it's more than you think because you got things coming at you. College, are you ready? Have you got that set up? Because your kids will go from, I think you only have like, they're born and then they're 18. It's how quick it happens. And I think I've come to the conclusion time's not on your side. I was telling, I think adults can think you're born, you're 21, you're 65, and you're dead. This is like, okay, I better pay attention to this. And so you go through those and you think about each response. What do I need to do today? Or what do I need to do on Saturday or next Thursday? And you take your planner and you write them in there. And the chances of you getting them done goes up dramatically when you put them in writing in front of you and you look at your planner all day long. And in the book, we have some good examples and drawings of planners with all kinds of things written in them, personal things, business things. Buy an airline ticket today because you're going on vacation 3 weeks and there's a good price. And just it's amazing once you – I think if they read this, I think it's the book's – I don't know what it is, $14 or something. You will it'll be a good investment.
I'll tell
anybody who's listening, if they buy the book and it doesn't help them, send it to me and I'll give you money back.
Well, there you go.
I know it will – point out things to you have not thought about.
That's
right. I'm working with a lot of school districts and colleges now. They're teaching it now because these kids, people are getting in trouble in their life because they know a lot, but they can't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
And the stress. And by the way, when you're organized, it really relieves the stress on you.
Boy, is that true.
When you feel in control, you know, it's not stress that kills you, it's distress. And distress is when things are out of control. And I think, ask the average person out there, it's just one thing after another every day, and it finally gets to you. And then we got 40 million people on anxiety drugs and depression, and including college kids.
It's true.
So it's worth a try for $14.
That's right. Well, Lee, you just set me up for the next question because a lot of what we experience in life is outside of our control, but there are so many things over which we can have control. Lee, in your book, you write about 6 keys to gaining a high level of control. Would you give us a quick overview of each one?
Well, you know, when I said, you know, if you hire the right people, you're more, I mean, if you hire great people, that already takes away a bunch of problems that are going to happen. If you train and educate people, that is one of the best ways to keep things under control. Great people, well-trained, can run the business. They don't get you in trouble. They make good decisions. And I guess I would add that at home. If you're raising your kids properly and you're teaching them about ethics and honesty and doing the right things and you're making sure they're doing well in school and you get them a tutor when they're not, that pays off for you later.
Yeah.
It keeps your life under control. You don't have to go get a lawyer. You don't have to get them out of rehab someday or whatever happens to kids when they get in trouble because, you know, I mean, those kinds of things. So I would say those 3 things, training, you know, is just huge with building self-esteem and self-confidence with people so they know what they are doing. So I'd have to get the book and look at what the other, what were the other ones I said in there?
Sure. I'll just rattle off the six, folks. Surround yourself with great people. Number two, train and educate. Number three, Lee, I love this, and we've talked about this moments ago. Be crystal clear about your expectations.
Yeah, let me talk about that.
Please
one a second
do.
Before you go on. Let me tell you, the biggest problem people get into when you hire somebody or when you have a relationship is lack of clarity. And at Disney, we are so clear with people before they even were able to go to work or fill out an application. They had to watch a film about Disney expectations, being on time to work, no visible tattoos, no visible piercings, no purple hair, taking care of our guests no matter what, discipline. I mean, it went on and on and on. At the end of that, film, which was so clear about what Disney expects, 20-25% of the people get up and walk out, decide they don't want to work for Disney. That's what clarity does.
Wow.
And you've just saved yourself a lot of problems. You're not going to have to deal with poor performance. People come to work late, and we're just crystal clear. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners had mothers who were crystal clear when you were raising you. You know, I tell people my mother was a terrorist before they had them in the world. She was crystal clear. And she didn't put up with any nonsense. And we look back, she taught us discipline, and my grandmother taught us empathy. And I think those are the two most important things in life, discipline and empathy. Do what you say you're going to do, and then, you know, be in a mindset to help people when they got a problem and understand that everybody goes through problems. That empathy pays off, and they come back more loyal to you than ever when you help them.
That's right.
So crystal clear. And I would say the average person out there is not very clear. You know, we just don't say, just tell it like it is. It's one of those hard conversations. And if people don't like it, they can go somewhere else. But it's your company. It's your business. And if you want them to do a great job, you got to make sure they understand what the job is. And then they got to do it. You got to make sure they do it.
I think one of the responsibilities of leaders, folks, is to create clarity, as Lee said, but then reinforce it with action and then words again. But then over-communicate that clarity. Clarity, clarity, clarity. So that's good, Lee.
And I would say reinforce it with a lot of making sure you're recognizing people.
Absolutely.
Making sure you're giving people a lot of a lot of good feedback, positive when they're doing a good job. That's another way. That reduces turnover. People, when they are being recognized, appreciation, recognition, and encouragement. This is the fuel that drives human performance. If you do that, you'll have less turnover. People will stay with you. They won't leave you for a couple dollars here and there.
Yeah.
And we all want it, you know. That's what I want. Somebody asked me why I continue to do public speaking. I said, well, when I played golf, nobody clapped. Now, so I didn't play golf in retirement. I speak and people applaud because I have a need to be loved. And that's why I do it. I do things that make me feel good.
Yeah.
And you, as a leader or a parent, you can make your people feel good every day.
That's right.
There's always opportunities, and it's a shame to waste that opportunity and not tell them what a great job they're doing.
That's right. Number one, guys, was surround yourself with great people. Number two is train and educate. Number three, be crystal clear about your expectations. Number four, Lee, anticipate and practice.
Well, that's another one. You know, I said earlier, reflect on what you did yesterday that you could have done better.
Yeah.
And then you will do better the next time that comes up. And the other thing is anticipate what will happen if you don't do certain things.
Yeah.
What will happen if you don't put a pool safety fence around your pool and your kid gets in there? Anticipate that you got a daughter that's 13 or 14 and what kind of conversations you need to be having with her. Anticipate safety issues, you know. I did some work with the best truck drivers in the world. When they're driving big semis, they're always anticipating what they would do if the car in front of them moved over, did this, did that. Anticipation, so they're ready. And most of us can anticipate. If we don't exercise, what's going to happen? If we don't get our annual physicals, we can anticipate some bad news. If we don't discipline our children and get them a good education, we can anticipate that we're going to have a lot of problems down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And anticipation is a powerful thing for you to think ahead a year, two, three, four. If you don't do things, if you don't get your retirement set up right and anticipate, you'll be 65 or 70 and you won't have enough. Most Americans retire with a negative net worth. I mean, it's like unbelievable because they don't anticipate it and time gets away from you. And before you know it, it's Christmas again.
It's true.
And you say, what happened? Well, what happens is time goes by, and it goes by fast. And so, yeah, those are the kind of things that people, anticipation and reflection. That's two good ways to get better immediately.
Yeah. Lee, number five, leave space in your calendar. That one is so personally meaningful for me because I used to be so fixated upon having my 5-year plan, my 10-year plan, but I heard this from a prominent leader a couple of years ago, and he said, create margin in your calendar so that you have room to be able to say yes to opportunities and experiences that you can't presently anticipate. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Every day at Disney, I didn't overschedule my calendar. I kept an hour or two, or hour and a half in the morning, an hour and a half in the afternoon free for things that could come up or would come up or emergencies or mm-hmm. have a guest that wanted to see me or one of my executives needed to see me right away. So, yeah, and leaving time for those opportunities that are going to pop up because we get things happen in life when you least expect it.
That's right.
You got to react, you know. So, yeah, that's a don't overschedule yourself where you have to say no to really important things that come in.
That's right.
Because you've overscheduled. And then also look at your calendar and ask yourself why you've got it in your calendar for you to do it. Why isn't somebody else doing this? And why isn't your assistant or your secretary or somebody who works for you or your whoever you have a contract with, your accountant, or why are you doing this? Are you the only one who can do it, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because what you want to do is save up enough time so you can go out and call on customers and make build more business and leave all that rinky-dink stuff to somebody that you've hired to do it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Number six may seem obvious, but Lee, you simply said this, do it now.
Well, that's the key. You know, there's certain things that in my second book, The Customer Rules, we have a section there about when, W-I-N. And somebody said, what's that mean? I said, when means what's important now.
That's so good.
What's important now? You know, when my wife says, Lee, I need you to be home at 4 o'clock, I can't say, well, I'm the executive vice president, you know. She needs me to do something. What's important right now? What's important right now may be calling somebody in and having a hard conversation with them about their performance or the decision they made last night. And we need to learn to focus on that. I learned that many times, but on 9/11, everything I had planned for the next few months went down the window. That morning at 8:45 in the morning, what's important now is get the parks closed, get people safely back, forget all that stuff I had in my day timer. Yeah. And these things happen every day to us.
That's
and
right.
We can't, you know, if you got good relationships with people, which is probably the most important thing, is you don't want to be saying no to them. I'm not available. I can't see you. I can't help you because you're overwhelmed with your work. You got to balance that out so that you can do the most important things now.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, to that, Lee, why do so many of us, and this, folks, I think, you know, having talked about these six practical keys, and again, number one, surround yourself with great people. Number two, train and educate. Number three, be crystal clear about your expectations. Number four, anticipate and practice. Number five, leave spaces in your calendar. Number six, do it now. Lee, let's dive into the psychology of this a little bit. Why do so many of us know what to do, but fail to do a lot of these things? I bet a lot of us finish the day, as you said, look back and wonder why certain, perhaps important things just didn't get done.
Oh, I think, again, because they're hard. You know, you look back and wonder why you didn't sit down and talk to that manager about the big mistake you made today. And it's a hard conversation. And a lot of people just sit around and hope it'll get better. You know, maybe it won't happen again. And I think we all put it. I mean, I'm not. I do, too. I mean, it's really hard things are hard to go do. Our brain doesn't work that way. It says, hey, don't do that. You know, you're
right,
not going to be
right.
happy tonight. And you got to force yourself to start doing hard things again because it really does train your brain. When mm-hmm. you start doing hard things, all of a sudden you get satisfaction when it works out well.
Yes.
You did a hard thing. You checked it off. Your brain says, that felt pretty good. So all of a sudden you change your personality. You change your approach. You do it for the people. You know, I say when you have to have a hard conversation with somebody, it's not for you, it's for them. So
yeah.
that you can make them. It's like your kids. When they do something wrong, you don't wait till their annual review. You know, you deal with it right then because you love them so much you can't stand it. And if you appreciate your people and respect them, you sit and have these conversations.
That's
about
right.
them. It's not about you. And all of our mothers told us that, you know, this hurts me more than you.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Because they love you so much, they're not going to hold back.
That's
and
right.
sometimes we misinterpret that. And we think, oh, we're being the bad guy. No, you're being the good guy when you do those things. And we see a lot of parents today that don't deal with their kids' behavior. And then you see what you got. They come into the workplace, and then we got to start all over if we made the mistake of hiring them. And then we see these other kids. I can almost tell you when I interview somebody, I can tell you exactly how they're, what their parents are like.
Wow.
And, you know, I just can. Yeah. I mean, and you can too. Just think of the people you know and then think of their parents. There's a big alignment there.
That's right. That's right.
So it's a interesting subject.
Definitely. And let's carry the conversation further. Let's talk about assigning priorities to the things that need to get done. I think that's where a lot of us get tripped up. We look at this proverbial list in our minds and just start moving without a strategy. Can you speak into this in greater detail?
Yeah, sure. If you're the owner of the business or you're in a pretty high level position or you have people reporting to you, you've got to think about them first. I mean, and that's got to be done. And you've got to really sit back and relax, rethink why you're doing so much and you're not delegating that to other people.
Right.
Or maybe you're trying to grow your business too fast and you're not doing a good job. And that's going to hurt you down the long run when you have bad reputation and referrals don't come in like they should. I mean, I can tell you every day I think about the three things I deal now. And it's on a simplistic approach. It's I take care of myself. I exercise every day. I have strength training twice a week. So I don't I want to build bone density and core strength because I don't want to fall and break a hip.
Yep.
Because that's the beginning of the end. And if you don't take care of your health, you can't have, as somebody said, if you don't take care of your health, you can't help other people.
That's right.
And my wife doesn't want me to leave. As I said, I'm in the ozone. I'm almost 74 years old, and I want to be around a while. And so I do that, and then I look after the family. I make sure I'm at the right events, and then I say no a lot. That's one of the best ways. You got to say no to some things. Some things don't have the value.
That's really good.
You can't put everything in your planner that comes to your brain, you know.
It's true.
You can put it on a list and look at it a year from now, but unless it's really important, you got to really get tough about picking the first thing I'm going to work on today, second thing I'm going to work on, the third thing, and go down that list of most important, least important, and if you got to make a call or you got to, you know, make a call to your current customer before you start looking for another one and making those kind of calls.
That's
and
right.
It's just a matter of sitting back and asking yourself, what's important now? How's this going to affect my business? How's this going to affect my customers? How's this going to affect my bottom line? And that'll drive you toward the right kinds of decisions. And and I think as you study this subject more, it'll become clear to you that there's a lot of things that we put off because they're just difficult.
Indeed.
So we feel good because we're busy, but when we really get honest with ourselves, we're not making much difference because we're just doing stuff that doesn't matter and nobody else knows about it anyway. It's, you know, half the stuff you got in your planner, only you know about it.
It's true.
And I think clarity, again, as we said before, be clear with people. Hey, I expect you to do this. I need it back at Friday at 5:00, and let me know if you need some help. Otherwise, I'm counting on you, buddy.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to do it. And just that. I would say a lot of people are just too timid.
Mm.
You don't ask enough. Your people are waiting to do more for you, but we're not asking them for it. And most people can do more. They want to do more. They want to make you happy. They want to you to be proud of them, and we just need to push them to get better and better and better and make sure they understand you're developing them for the future and they're going to have big jobs down the road because you're teaching them the hard stuff and the important stuff.
That's right.
And just like the school teacher we all loved because she was tough on us, but we all liked her.
That's right.
You know, so if you're being soft and being your kid's best friends, you're probably going to have problems down the road because life is pretty brutal when you get out there and your mother's not there to help you.
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
Well, Lee, I can't walk away from this conversation without discussing procrastination. Last fall, I did some research about procrastination, and some of the respondents said, I think it's an addiction to perfection that goes back to limiting beliefs and only feeling worthy when you do things perfectly. So it's that perfectionism that drives it. Others contended that as long as the project or task gets accomplished, what does the timing matter? Talk to us about procrastination from your experience in leading Disney. What are some major time wasters?
Well, I think, you know, we can say it's doesn't matter when it gets done, but it does matter. Like sometimes you tell a guest you're going to get back to them at 3:00. You know, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But people procrastinate because first they don't plan. They don't want to do the hard things. So they their mind tells, we'll do it later, I'll do it maybe tomorrow, I'll get it done. Just unpleasant things. That's the name of the game for procrastination.
Yep.
Putting it off because hoping it'll get better. And let me tell you what, one thing I learned is hoping doesn't work very well.
It's true.
You got to take action. And I think this whole procrastination thing, a lot of people think they're wired that way. And I used to do it because I didn't know how to go get an expert to help me. So I would put it off.
Yeah.
No, nope, because I didn't know how to do it. A lot of people do it because they don't know how to do it. But you don't need to know how to do it. You can go get somebody to help you with it. And so I think there are many reasons. Part of it's the way we were raised, maybe. Maybe we grew up in a family where you weren't held accountable. You know, you were supposed to feed the dog and take the trash out, and your mother didn't really make you do that. So you grew up, and you always knew you could get out of it some way or another. And your brain gets, I think your brain gets adjusted that way. And I think with our kids and grandkids, we make sure that they follow through. So they got to do it. You know, my mother didn't make us make our bed because what's it matter if the bed's made? She was teaching us discipline.
Yeah.
To finish it, mow the lawn, finish it, whatever it is. And I worry about that today because kids are not working enough in 16, 17, 18 like we used to do, and they're not learning how to be on time and work with other people and be flexible and be responsible. And then once you don't know how to do something, if you haven't had exposure and experience, you don't have much to call on.
Right.
When you're trying to make a hard decision. And so I am a big fan of exposure, experience, travel, getting people exposed to people unlike themselves, doing the dirty hands-on jobs when you're 16, 17, so you don't think you're better than everybody else in the world and all those things. So you know that you have the fortitude to get things done.
That's right.
So when they come at you, you're strong because you've been there. You've done it. You know you can do it. You have confidence. You believe in yourself. And that's what we have to build more in our young people is confidence, self, you know, really helping people believe in themselves more. And when you have a system for getting things done, then you believe in yourself more. You know I can get this done.
That's so powerful. Lee, we've provided so much information, so much inspiration and empowerment today. If you could distill our conversation down to a few key tips, what would you want everyone to know? And then what would you want everyone to do in response?
Well, I would say, and I'm not trying to sell books. I got plenty of book sales. But I would say if you want to learn more about this and understand it so you know how to implement it, then you need to get.
Absolutely.
Read it. Study it.
That's right.
Not just read it. And I would say definitely get your kids that are 10th, 11th, and 12th grade to read it. So I'd do that first. I'd get myself a planner. After you buy the book, you look at it.
That's right.
Take a look at it. And it'll show you exactly how to do it. There's good examples in the book. Then the problem is you're going to sit there and say, wow, I can do this. Then you just got to do it. Because most people, it'll take you 30, 40 days probably. Just make sure you do it every day. Make that plan. Put it in your day planner. To-do list. You do it. You check it off. You put the priorities on it like you'll learn about when you read the book. And I guarantee you in 6 weeks, you won't know how you used to work because it'll be a new habit. It'll be the new way to do things. It's like exercise. Once you start exercising,
yes,
you got to stick with it for 30 days because it's hard. Everything's hard before it's easy. And once you don't, I would say that one simple phrase, everything's hard before it's easy. It just builds your, it makes you feel better about yourself to accomplish. And when you don't accomplish things, you get down on yourself and you don't take risks, you don't take chances, and life doesn't work out. The first quote in that book says, if you don't take the time to plan the life you want, you're going to spend a lot of time living the life you do not want.
That's true.
You know, you don't go back and get that degree. You don't patch up relationship problems. You don't teach your kids the right. I mean, how many people do you know that are living a life they're not happy with? I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's true. It's true.
And we own it. We control it and we can fix it. But we got to get up and get moving and do the hard things. And eventually you learn how to be a better manager and you learn how to be a better leader and all of a sudden good things start happening to you.
It's really good. Folks, he is Lee Cockrell, the author of the book, Time Management Magic, as well as others available right now. And like I said, I'm going to have a link to purchase this phenomenal book. I've gone through it. I've highlighted it. I've taken notes on it. Available right now. wintoday.tv/episode83. Lee, thank you so much for taking the time for us. How can we connect with you?
LeeCockerell.com.
Okay.
And on there is everything, all my books, my speeches, my videos of me speaking, my podcast, which is called Creating Disney Magic, which comes out every Tuesday morning. It's 15 minutes on leadership, management, and customer service. It's free, doesn't cost you a penny. And I put everything on my site. I'm in the middle of developing a new site now, so we can make sure it's got everything awesome. On it. It's easy to get to.
Wonderful. Well, Lee, thank you so much for taking the time for me, for all of us here at Win Today. I got to tell you, you played, obviously, a very key role in making my childhood magical. So, again, thanks for your time, for your wisdom, for your value add to me and all the listeners here at Win Today.
Thank you, Chris. You take care.
Folks, thanks again for joining my conversation today with Lee Cockerell. You know, usually we do a weekly quick tips, but because of how much information Lee shared with us and how much value he brought to the conversation, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to leave it at that today. But his brand new book, Time Management Magic, is available right now. Go to wintoday.tv/episode83, where I'll have a link to purchase it, as well as a discount code to my absolute favorite daily planner, the Full Focus Planner, compliments of Michael Hyatt and company. Folks, just to recap Lee's 6 steps to creating more clarity in your time management, he said, 1, surround yourself with great people. 2, train yourself, educate yourself. 3, be crystal clear about your expectations to yourself and to others. 4, anticipate and practice. 5, leave spaces in your calendar. And 6, here's the big one, do it now. You know, I know a lot of us have drive patches in life where we feel worn out, stressed out, and unsuccessful, but let's make that the exception, not the rule. That's exactly why Win Today exists, to give you a roadmap, not a formula, to become ridiculously healthy and whole from the inside out. As I mentioned at the top of the show, go get some snacks from my friends over at GoRaw.com. Go to GoRaw.com right now. Use the promo code WINTODAY20. You're going to save 20% on your order. My friends, do not miss next week. I'm so pumped. My guest, New York Times bestselling author, Pastor Jensen Franklin, oh my gosh, is here to talk about his brand new book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. This thing is unbelievable. It's going to set so many of you free from bitterness, from unforgiveness. I'm reading this thing cover to cover. I can't put it down. Jensen Franklin is here next week, so stay tuned. Till next week, visit me over at wintoday.tv for blog posts and archive podcasts, all designed to help you become the very best you're capable of becoming. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.